Our cancer director at UAB who gets community-based participatory research. That's how the work I do. And I think the best analogy that he has made to convince funders is that it's very similar to drug development. It takes time. So, and we have used that now as an analogy because I think then the traditional funders understand that. And I think it's just going to take us a long time to convince that community-based participatory research takes a long time. But I'm not talking about that today. I'm Isabel Escarinci. I am at University of Alabama at Birmingham in the School of Medicine. And I am sharing with you, I did a part yesterday on the acceptability of the self-collected sampling device for HPV testing in our work in the Mississippi Delta. And today's part two. So I'll try to do a summary of part one that I did yesterday. So first, why African Americans in the Mississippi Delta? As you can see, mortality is still much higher in African Americans in this country and even higher in the Mississippi Delta. Everybody knows that HPV is the cause of cervical cancer and is present in almost 100% of the cervical cancers. And HPV testing could be an effective approach in the early detection of cervical cancer. And DNA testing has already been approved by the FDA. In fact, some studies have shown that HPV testing may be more effective than pap smear, given all the limitations of pap smear in terms of cost, in terms of personnel, and because it has HPV DNA test has high sensitivity and reliability. And there are some studies that look at sensitivity and predictive value of HPV detection by comparing clinician-collected samples and for HPV testing. I'll be a little technical here. Actually, I'm going to digress a little bit. This study, we have a Deep South network in Mississippi and Alabama where we work with community health advisors or lay health advisor, whatever we call community health workers, unpaid. Our volunteers, we have about 500 trained volunteers in the whole state. This is the work of years in the Mississippi Delta. And these volunteers are very powerful in the community, very similar to the what was presented earlier. So for us, NCI, the intramural, want to do this DNA testing in the Delta because they have one of the highest cervical cancer rates in the country and use our infrastructure to do that. So this started as a basic clinical science project to use our lay health workers, our volunteers, to recruit the women. It's called the Women's Delta Project. And in the process, why is a behavioral scientist involved, was a great opportunity for a behavioral scientist like me to look at acceptability and adoption of this technology as it is being developed. So that's how the study itself is uses the current technology on the DNA test uses the HyperCaptor 2. And that's not has not very good, better than pap smear, but not high sensitivity and specificity as we would like. So NCI approaches to test this new technology. So the study, the NCI study is the women who come to the clinic have a regular pap smear, a clinician collected sampling for HPV testing, and then they take the device home and for self-collected sampling and send the sample in the mail. And I talk about that. Some of the previous studies only have done self-collected sampling in the office, and women were recruited in the clinics. So maybe they were working with a very compliant group. Nobody has looked at acceptability, very limited, but not from a behavioral science, not from a theoretical and culturally relevant perspective. And no studies have involved the target audience in the process. So we started by discussing with the community health advisors on the best strategies. It took us almost a year. We went, we showed them the device, they need to take the device home, play with it, come back, and then the data I presented yesterday was we did focus groups with women in the clinics and unscreened women in the community to look at factors related to acceptability. And after we did that and it was acceptable, we then refined the device. And then before we start the study, that's what I'm presenting today, we want to look at usability of the device. One thing is to see the device in a picture, the other is use yourself. So it's a very small group. This is was only 9 women. And this is the device, it's about this big. So that scares people. Scares women. But we need, if you see this, then we had a discussion group, an education to the women about cancer and HPV. We gave them detailed instructions on how to use the device. Our cancer center director gave the education on cervical cancer and HPV. I explained to them how to use the device after using it myself. And then they had the opportunity to handle the device in their hands. We distribute the kits. And they had a number to call in case they had any problems. And then they came back the next day. 62% had heard about HPV prior to their participation in the focus group. 100% of the participants reported that it was very easy. It's a very easy device to use. Only one participant experienced some discomfort. And they said that written instructions were very helpful, and we had a brochure for them to refer to. But they said what was most important is to have the explanation by a woman who used the device herself, and because they could ask me how it felt, and I could give the details. And they suggest also having a short video to take home with instructions if an in-person explanation is not possible. That we have recruited so far about 80 women to the main study, and we are using the in-person explanation. And they did have some concerns whether they did it right. Then we asked them about their opinions regarding preference, pap smear versus self-collected sampling. And while some prefer pap, others prefer self-collected sampling. And that was very similar to our focus groups of women who didn't try the device. The self-collect was more convenient. You can do it in the privacy of your home. The pap smear is that if the doctor does it, it's more accurate. And also what was very, I think, interesting is that, I mean, the women are very receptive to this. If we develop this and this technology is acceptable and cost-effective, I mean, this is to be used among women who are not coming for their pap smear. So they were very receptive. They were divided with regard to preference. Even women in our focus groups between the clinic and the community, we didn't find differences in preference for pap smear versus the self-collected sampling. Now we are in the process from the qualitative data, and from all this we develop a theory based on PAN3 and health belief model to look at acceptability of the device, but also we did a study on the vaccine, and we look at acceptability as would you be willing, and you say sure, and then you say here's the vaccine. It's very different, and I think that's where we missed the boat on the vaccine, that we don't want to miss the boat with on this one, because most of the studies on the vaccine were like my study was, would you? You say sure, but the other thing is now take this home and come back tomorrow. And also that is acceptability, and if they return the kits is adoption, and we think that we're going to find differences in acceptability and adoption. And has been very, it's the first time that I work with basic scientists as a behavioral scientist, and I think has been fascinating to see how a technology is developed and how we can contribute to the development of this technology from a behavioral science perspective. Questions?
Did you find any difference in terms of
No. The women, if you are familiar with HPV literature, the HPV testing is not recommended for women under 30. So they all are 30 and older. So we didn't find, well, this is qualitative. We'll see what the quantitative data show. I mean, we didn't find a difference in the qualitative analysis in terms of comments across age. But we'll see. I don't know if we're going to find that. But again, I mean, if you're familiar with the Delta, it's a very poor area, and it's a very rural, and it's very hard to get to care. Very far away. That is the, what we're gonna. Our fear, our concern. We only have 80. We haven't done the quality assurance yet. Our fear is that they are the main. You can't do any damage. I mean, it's a very safe device. And not being too graphic, you know how far you can go. I mean, it's our concern is not that. Our concern is if they collected the sample from the vagina rather than the cervix, then we have a big problem. So we are waiting to have because we need to do this blind, and anyway, we're going to look at the quality assurance to see if the women are doing it right. Anecdotal, it's interesting. One of their concerns was the, I'm going to forget now, the liquid that where they need to put the tip into male. They were very concerned that it was not going to be safe for the children, the community health advisors. This is early on. So they developed this additional testing. Now we use Cipacol, so that is safe. For the even, I mean, they gave input on from the vial to the color of the handouts, and so the community health advisors are very invested in the program. Oh no, the play with it was in the session when we're training, that they can play with it right then and there. You know, we had a sample for them to, once they take it home, we give them one, so then is the real thing. Our return rate, we have, out of 80, we have so far one that didn't return the sampling. So it's going very well, but took us over a year just working with the community health advisors to get them on board to do this.